And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 128 for August 3rd, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Anything Goes, All Wine Aside, and Tunes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You could tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's get to our panel for this week. 103 episodes in a row, Mr. Heavy Set.
Well, at least we got rid of them.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Screw peace, we've got La Carnage.
All I have to say is Ronda motherfucking Rousey.
She ain't a do-nothing bitch. And we've got Will.
Wait, thanks for having me. It's very kind of you.
There you go. All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
And unfortunately, once again, the exact same time I start recording a podcast, the neighbor above me decides to start nailing nails into his wall. So I apologize for the background noise. All right, who's up first? Let's go with Heavy Set. What do you got?
Oh, well, you ask me a question, I'm going to ask you a question. Who are you going to call?
This year, we reported on a rumor that the Russo brothers were going to direct an all-male version of Ghostbusters to make up for the icky, yucky, girls-only Paul Feig-directed reboot that no one is excited about and definitely doesn't look like the coolest thing ever put to film. The rumor started last December when an exuberant email from Channing Tatum was uncovered as part of the larger Sony leak. Channing was stoked to star in the Ghostboysters with his good buddy and star of literally every franchise, Chris Pratt. According to the rumors, these new Ghostbusters would be written by Drew Pearce, the screenwriter who penned Iron Man 3 and who is currently on press tour for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which I'm seeing tonight and is going to be awesome. Well, some genius decided to ask Pearce a very straightforward question on the red carpet premiere for the film last night. How's Ghostbusters? And they got a very straightforward answer. Pierce basically confirmed everything we'd heard is true. He's writing a Ghostbusters. The Russos are involved. He wrote it with Tatum and Pratt in mind, and it fits into a larger Ghostbusters universe that will coexist with Feig's Ghost Hunting Ladies. But then, late this afternoon, Pierce took to his Twitter account to clear up a few details and drop a big progressive bomb that's blowing all of our minds. His Busters will have a mixed gender crew. What? Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling. The dead rising from the grave. Human sacrifice. I'm kind of into that one. Boys and girls busting together. Mass hysteria. Pierce also dropped that he will include ghosts of all classes, 1 through 7, and he's only completed the movie's Bible so far. So chill out, other news sources. But seriously, hurry up and finish that script, Drew. We need to get the Girl Busters and the People Busters out there so we can move on to their team-up flick, Ghostvengers: Age of Slimer. So what do you guys think? Who else do you want to see busting ghosts alongside Tatum and Pratt? Is this why Channing is maybe dropping out of Gambit? Who are you gonna call? Let's discuss.
Okay, first of all, girls and boys busting together might be misinterpreted, so let's just clarify that. They will all be together in a team fighting ghosts, just so we understand. I'm actually excited for the second Ghostbuster Heavy Set. This first one, I've only seen images and I'm already disappointed, and I don't want to be sexist or nothing, but just the cast involved really disappoints me. Tatum and Chris Pratt in a mixed gender cast sounds a lot more interesting, and I almost want to just have them scrap the first one, because I think with such a long absence between this one and the second one, to have two so quickly, I think could actually hurt the franchise. Do you agree with me?
Help us, Drew Pearce. You are our only hope. Yeah. I like the casting choices that we're going with those two. They bring something to the table that I think you just got to throw this out there, and this gets automatic. We're already pumped about it. They did the same thing with that female cast, and like, this is who's going to be it. Everybody went, really? Why? I'm excited about this, and the fact that we got what seems to be good news on the horizon, the right person behind it. I want to get past this female bullshit.
But that's horrible, because we already want to get past it. It hasn't even started filming yet.
Yeah, it has.
We don't even have a trailer. But we want to get past it already? I mean, that's a really bad sign, man.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? And this could be, it's close to my heart, but the new Ninja Turtles movie. That first one was, like, not that many people are liking it. There's highlights I like about it. The fact that they got Vern into a movie, and whenever I think of that movie, I think of the one line of, I thought they were aliens. No, that would be stupid. But this new one that they're working on sounds to be a whole lot better, because they're talking like they're actually going to have the real Shredder. They're going to have Krang supposed to be involved, Bebop, Rocksteady, and me growing up on the 80s cartoon. I'm like, yes, I'm really excited for this, and that's all I need. But now we got Ghostbusters, where it's okay. This is kind of like the first Turtles movie, where everything they throw out, everybody's getting pissed. But there was this other one, even though it's not a sequel, everybody's more pumped about that because it seems like they're doing things right. And the fact that they announced that they are going to do the mixed gender team, it's kind of a big fuck you. But I can also look at it like Ghostbusters 1 and 2, all male cast. Or those all four male Ghostbusters. This new one, all female. It's obviously all female. So this one, you're getting the mix of it and to figure out what do you like better. And it just, to me, makes a whole lot of sense. Either make it like the original, which is all male, or have it mixed. I think, as Sexo says it sounds, I don't like the all female cast idea. But I've said that many times already.
We're going to throw it out to the panel. What do you guys think? Mia Heavy's talking here.
I just want to say one thing before the girl that was talking was wrong. Chang Tatum, it's not related to his thing with Gambit. He's actually still doing Gambit, and not only is he in it, he's actually going to be producing it.
Wait, hold on a second, Will. You're meaning to tell me that an online journalist did not check her sources and was incorrect?
Actually,
no, at the time...
Are you telling me that when this video was released earlier in the week, that the news wasn't going around that Channing Tatum wasn't going to be in the movie, and since then we have now heard that he is officially going to be in the movie. How can that possibly be?
I just meant to say that we're playing this clip now, and I'd like people to be updated with the facts. And thus, her hypothesis...
It's bullshit.
That's all I meant.
I appreciate you clarifying everything.
Thank you. That's it. I have nothing to say about this movie. Actually, I'm not a... I didn't grow up with Ghostbusters. I have nothing much to say.
So busting doesn't make you feel good?
No.
No.
Nuts. Okay, sorry.
Will says he likes the all male cast.
That's awesome. His wife's like right there too. I love it. Le Carnage. Let's get your thoughts, man.
I'm a little up and down with the mixed cast. I think if they're gonna, I'm curious as to where they're gonna go. Like, is it a continuation of Ghostbusters or is it just a reboot? Like this female cast is coming out. I always thought that if they're gonna do a if they're going to use a new cast, maybe have it be their kids or something along that lines. Like maybe they had some kids in the time we haven't seen the original Ghostbusters or something like that. But no matter what, I'm going to check it out. Hopefully they can bring back maybe Slimer. Stay Puft probably won't be around, but, you know, put some stuff that's nostalgic in there. Make it a little more for us that actually grew up with Ghostbusters and enjoyed the movie.
As far as what I do understand about these two movies in general, it's not really a reboot, because as far as I understand, the events of the previous two movies still happen. They're working on their version of a Ghostbusters cinematic universe, or just Ghostbusters universe, not really cinematic. It's the fact that when Dan Aykroyd had this idea in mind, he originally wanted to be that Ghostbusting was going to be similar to Fire Department, Police Force, and all that kind of stuff, where there was going to be like branches around the country. And I think this is his way of, or the filmmaker's way of, having that be a little bit more plausible. Where now, since the moments of the first movies, I'm hoping this is going to be like, okay, we now have more ghost busting, or maybe the business died down at one point, and somehow the all-female one I heard is going to be more East Coast, and I heard the new one, the Pierce one, is going to be West Coast. So right now, just a lot of rumors, but I just don't want to say reboot exactly right now.
All right, next up, Will, we got the cast list for Spider-Man Reboot is apparently ridiculous.
Yep, well, it surfaced online. Now, we don't know. All it is someone took a picture of a desktop computer. It could have been, like, the article even shows, like, just the same list with the name Idris Elba next to it.
Yeah, everything. I mean, it's... Hold on a second. Like, it looks like a dude made a Word file, yeah. Took a capture, like... What?
But it does deal with a lot of stuff that does make sense. A lot of stuff. For example, the one that to me speaks the most is the Harry Osborn casting. Because now you're not supposed to know who this guy is. It's Timothée Chalamet. I don't know who he is either. But the point is that was a guy who was runner-up to be Spider-Man himself. And it only makes sense that when they were looking for someone to be Spider-Man, they were also using them for Harry Osborn, which what happened in the first Raimi movie where... Come on, how am I drawing a blank here? Who played Harry Osborn? The guy who was in...
James Franco?
Yeah, James Franco was actually in the lining to play Spider-Man as well. They ended up playing Harry Osborn instead, and this seems to be the case as well. They got Robert Downey Jr., which makes sense, right? Because he'd be in it. Marissa Tomei was confirmed. There were previous rumors before this came out that Billy Zane would actually be the Vulture. And so it's here too.
Vulture, yes!
Yeah! Sorry. But not just that, but it's Billy Zane. You know who Billy Zane is, right? Or no?
The Panther.
He's the Phantom. I'll tell you who he is. He's the bad guy in Titanic, okay?
Oh, okay.
He hasn't had a hit since then. He hasn't. He was also in Back to the Future for 2 seconds. In any case... The guy is known for being bald, but always wearing a toupee. Always. So finally, I like that he's finally playing a role where he can be his own bald self. I find that fun. So as the Vulture, it sounds really good. We also never saw him in a movie. Same for the other rumored villain here, which is the Scorpion. That would be really good. The Scorpion was actually a very early villain as well, and we never saw him either.
Scorpion? I don't remember the Scorpion at
all. He's green, and he has a very big tail. And he just, like, hits Spider-Man with his tail, pretty much.
I like Vulture, though, because he was actually one of my favorite villains.
You know what's crazy? So. Vulture, people don't know this, but Vulture is the very first villain on a Spider-Man cover. He's in Spider-Man number 2. Wow. Yeah, he's the.
Do you think they somehow remake Electro to not look like a blue pile of shit?
I would very much like it because it didn't work. But I don't know. We'll see. I think they're gonna distance themselves. Just like, for example, when they made the first Batman movie with Bale, they used the villains that we hadn't seen before, like Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul. Waiting until they bring out, you know, Two-Face, Bane, and Joker again. So I think it's smart to keep it to villains we haven't seen yet. That's a smart thing.
I agree. Do you think if they do bring Electro back, and because I'm a huge Electro mark, they got to have the green and yellow with the stars?
I think they would. I think they would because, remember, now it's Marvel that's very much there. And so far, they've been big on keeping things comic-related. I mean, they do change. For example, Captain America doesn't have his little ears. Instead, they're on his...
Yeah, but that's negligent. If they didn't put Captain America like all black with gold trim or some shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I see what you mean. But the thing is but I'll tell you why yes and no, because the Electro you're referring to is blue in the Ultimate Comics, which is where a lot of the Avengers stuff comes from as well. So the Captain America costume is like that, and Samuel Jackson being Nick Fury is from the Ultimate Comics too. So we'll see. I can't give you understand, but I would like him to be green and yellow as well. So I'll keep going. The big thing about Scorpion is that he'd be played here by Jason Biggs, which is their name we haven't heard.
What the fuck?
In like 50 years. Oh, that guy hasn't been cool for a long time.
Hey, he was in Orange is the New Black.
Wait, he was? I don't watch.
He was the boyfriend first year.
Okay, very interesting. So he's doing stuff. But yeah, so Jason Biggs, that'd be something. Then we have Mary Jane Watson, played by Rachel J. Fox, who I don't know.
Hold on. Jason Biggs also recently, he did the first season of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. But then they pulled him.
As a voice actor. Who's he playing?
Leonardo.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay.
And then he said some screwed up stuff on Twitter. Nickelodeon was like, dude, kids follow you. We have to fire you.
What did he say?
I don't remember. Someone would just tell me about it recently. Because I thought he was still in and they were like, no, he got fired. And they explained it. Like, oh, shit. Oh.
But
G Fox is hot, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, Rachel G Fox. Now, even though she looks like a 16-year-old, she's 19, and thus it's okay for me to think that she looks pretty damn hot.
There you go. So it's just legal, it's fine.
She's legal, it's fine. By the way, this would be the hottest Mary Jane Watson yet. Better, way better than Kirsten Dunst, and better than who they had lined up for the previous role, the previous series. So, like I said, Harry Osborn is Timothée Chalamet. Liz Allen would be Sam Gale. People don't know Liz Allen. She was the very first girlfriend Peter Parker had in the comics. So they're really taking this back way old school.
Not an origin story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is definitely looking
origin. Oh, not again.
Yeah.
Does she get bit by the spider? Fuck this.
Old school. You know that, I don't know, do you watch Gotham? The show?
Yeah, it was terrible. I saw it for 2 episodes.
Okay, good. The first episode, though, you see the Wayne's dying, right?
Yeah, again.
Again. Okay, good. Now, I don't know if that is the trailer for the Superman versus Batman movie. And I know. The Waynes die again. It's like, we know the freaking story, guys. The Waynes die every single time. Stop it. Anyway, so they're doing Origin again, it seems. They got Flash Thompson again. This is the part that's really crazy. And this is the one I'm not sure how to go with this list. J. Joe and Jameson. Hugh Laurie playing him. Sounds kind of nuts. If nobody's sure, if people don't know Hugh Laurie, he's the guy who played House in House. So he'd be J. Joe and Jameson.
You know what, though? He's got acting chops.
He's got acting chops. But you know what? It's just, it's so, I totally don't see it. But I guess, yeah, it could work. You know what I would have liked, though? For fun, I would have loved they just brought J.K. Simmons back to play this role. That's what I would have gone for.
That doesn't happen now. Like
people. It does. It happened with the old Batman movies, the ones where when it changed from Keaton to Val Kilmer, they kept the same guy to play Alfred. No. Yeah. So you could do that anyway. And same for the James Bond movies. They kept actually James Bond's even weirder. They rebooted the franchise but kept the same M. So they keep doing that again and again. So James Bond has been doing that for years to just keep the same actors for continuity's sake. Anyways. Then you've got Robbie Robertson, which would be played by Forest Whitaker, which makes perfect sense because that's exactly what Robbie Robertson looks like. You got Betty Brant. She was, who plays Liz? Okay, Zach and Miri make a porno. Who's the lead actress there?
Oh, fuck.
She's the...
Elizabeth...
Elizabeth Banks. Olsen. Okay, Elizabeth Banks. Yeah. Not Olsen. Elizabeth Banks. That's the Elizabeth Banks character from the original trilogy. Now you're played by Miranda Cosgrove. And then Ned Leeds being played by Tyler Posey. Ned Leeds is the brother of Betty Brant. And Ned Leeds eventually is part of the Hobgoblin storyline. So you can see from this list that they're planning a bunch of stuff here and there. You got a bunch of people that could eventually become villains or yeah. So there's a lot of stuff happening here.
What's Iron Man's role?
I would say that because the thing is, if they're going to go with the Civil War, Iron Man does try to bring Peter Parker to his side. So that's why it would make sense to see him in this movie.
Okay, cameo.
Like a cameo, yeah, telling him that there's a bigger world, we'd like to have you. Him being the Avengers, we need you now. If you could maybe, I don't know, let's say Peter Parker has a secret identity and the whole point is they're still going with the secret identity thing. They could say, well, look, if you show your face to the world, you know, we'll protect you. And I who knows? But the point is that Peter Parker was very much integrated with Tony Stark in the beginning of Civil War. So if they go along that same path, it makes sense that we see him there instead of Captain America.
Awesome. Okay. We got your thoughts. Let's throw it out to the panel. What do you guys think?
The only thing I don't like is the fact that they are bringing Billy Zane in. I'm a Billy Zane fan somewhat, but I think as far as the Vulture, he was more of a, he wasn't really a pretty boy. He kind of had that, you know, like the guy who played Imhotep in The Mummy. I think that guy would have been a better cast.
Yeah, that's a great one. That, you know what? That would totally work because he's also older than Zane because he's supposed to be pretty old, this guy.
Yeah, the Vulture actually was old. And then something happened where, remember, he got young for a little bit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully they can do this justice. I heard that it's not supposed to be an origin story, but the fact is that he is a teenager. That's the biggest thing because Parker was a teenager for most of the time. You know what I mean? He was in high school, stuff like that. So apparently it's not supposed to be an origin of how he became Spider-Man, but it's supposed to be, I guess, while he's a teenager. So
because they're still bringing in, like I said, Liz Allen is there for only like the first 20 comics. So like they're still going really old school. If it's not origin, it's like right after he became Spider-Man.
That's okay. I wouldn't mind that. But for them to have two movies and then another origin, like fuck off.
Okay,
man.
Okay. Like, okay, would you be okay with like a flashback? Like you know the Marvel
a 30-second flashback.
Remember the Marvel Hulk movie? How it started with his origin?
Just make it quick.
Okay.
Oh, you're saying like during the opening credits, it had that little. Yeah, that would be okay. Like something like that.
That makes sense.
Because it was just during the opening credits. It was real quick. It wasn't like the whole movie, you're seeing him get bit by a spider. Oh, okay, he's adjusting to the powers again and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, you have to see the opening credits, who the film photography, the executive producer, anyways. Might as well let us know what happened for the one person out there who didn't know Spider-Man's fucking origin story.
You know what? It's like funny. I don't mind his origin. I don't want to see his Uncle Ben die again because they always drag that shit. The last time they dragged it even longer. Like we knew it was going to happen. But like the way they do it like a suspense thing where like, is he going to die? Maybe not. Oh, the milk fell. I'm like, guys, I know he dies. Just fucking.
Yeah. Forward. And everybody fucking who watches Spider-Man knows he's going to croak. So that kind of shit's like that really bothers
me. Okay. Well, then that case, old school, I do hope that it's not an origin story, even though they seem to be going, you know, pretty old school.
While we're on the topic of comments, I did want to tell Will something.
Go ahead.
I saw that they are saying that the Batman versus Superman is supposed to be before, or was it after Suicide Squad? I think it's after Suicide Squad. But they were saying about the Robin suit. Everyone was saying, oh, you know, the Joker is going to be the Robin and all that. Well, they're saying that apparently the Joker, who's this guy?
Jared Leto.
Yeah, Jared Leto's Joker supposedly killed Robin, and that's why the spray paint is on there. It wasn't like he defaced it while it was in the case. Apparently, Batman's just kept it as a reminder or something.
That would be the more logical thing, because that's how it is in the comics, by the way. The Joker kills Robin. But we're thinking because of the age gap, it could be that instead he just tortured Robin into turning him like him. That's what we're... So the crazier hypothesis is the one I brought forth. The one you're bringing on is the one that is probably going to be the right one, since that's the more traditional case. So yeah, thanks.
All right, thank you very much, Will. Next story, Beverly Hills Cop 4 is not dead yet. We haven't seen Detective Axel Foley on the big screen for more than 20 years, not since 1994's Beverly Hills Cop 3, piece of shit. Almost the entire time after, we've been having reports that Beverly Hills Cop 4 could actually happen. And as we live and breathe here in 2015, the project is still not dead, at least according to Brett Ratner. Pumping the National Geographic Channel series Breakthrough, where he directed one episode, Ratner appeared at the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour. Slash Film caught up with the writer, director, producer, and one of the things they discussed was about Beverly Hills Cop 4. He confirmed that this is still in the works, and when asked about it, where they're at, he said, quote, working on the script, working on the script. Yes, he said it twice. It's a longer process. It's not easy. A lot of pressure on that one. In addition to revealing that they're in the process of developing and rewriting the script, Ratner also confirmed that he's still attached to direct the project. Apparently, it got a new breath of life recently when the CBS reportedly canceled the pilot for the potential series they were working on. They're actually moving forward with a series for another property Ratner has been involved in, as their episodic Rush Hour is slated to hit the air in the middle of 2015-2016, which will be a complete bust, in my opinion. I think it's really cool that it's not gone away. The one thing that bothers me with Eddie Murphy is he's gone away from his old school kind of funny self, and you see that in the SNL 40th anniversary, where he didn't want to participate in certain sketches and was more of like a speech. Like, he didn't want to go back to the old school stuff. And I just find that, I don't know what's with him, man. Maybe there's something where he doesn't want to kind of be looked at as a nostalgia guy and wants to come back. But at the same time, what has he done since The Nutty Professor, really? I mean, he's pretty much out of the limelight right now. So I don't know what his problem is. He really needs to get his ego in check. And I'm actually kind of excited to see this, provided it's not a number three kind of G-rated piece of crap. If he can go back to the old kind of attitude Axel Foley, I would really appreciate it more. Let's get your thoughts, man.
Hold on real quick. Shrek. That's what he's been doing.
Tower Heist.
Like I said, Shrek. That's what he's been doing.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm actually a fan of Beverly Hills Cop. Part 3, yeah, was a bust. And it's funny because I just watched all three of them this week. I was watching a bunch of old 80s movies. So my thing is, yeah, I like the grittier, darker Axel Foley, the funnier, raunchier, did all kinds of funny shit. The third one was not really, that was like you said, PG. It was like they were in Disney World and some shit happened, but.
Got thrown out of a fucking window.
I think that if you don't have Eddie Murphy in this role, though, if they're going to do it, it's not going
to
work.
You have to have him.
You have to have him back. I think you have to bring back Judge Reinhold. And fuck the guy they had in part 3. I forgot that dude's name. They got to bring back Taggart unless the dude's dead. Because those two, it was funny as shit when it was them two. I think that kind of is what else fucked up part 3, was the fact that they had another guy with Reinhold this time and not the original guy who was his partner.
Do you
partner.
Think he could hold up the action, though? Because Taggart was old like 20 years ago. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, I think we could get him like, okay, you know how they had Reinhold in like a kind of a position of power? They said he retired, so what if they make him be some sort of private eye and going on
yeah,
and
yeah.
He brings in, hey, Foley, and of course, Reinhold's going to come in. And then, you know, there's so many different things they could do. I just wonder what's going to be the reason this time, unless they make it like, okay, Taggart died or Reinhold's character died, something like that. Because I know we saw in the third one, it was his Todd, Inspector Todd, that died, which was his boss. So, and in the second one, they tried to kill off the dude he made friends with in the first one that was like, what, the captain or something like that in Beverly Hills 1. So I'm for it. Hopefully they can get it right. It could be worse. It could be Rampage.
No, no, for sure. I mean, look, I stay optimistic and, you know, because I don't want to have a bias and say, oh, he's going to make it bad like the third one. And maybe he has the right idea for this one. So there's definitely still a lot of buzz for it. And I really hope it does happen. Throw it to the panel. Anybody want to comment?
I was going to say Rush Hour, the TV series. Are you fucking kidding me?
What the fuck is that? No.
Yeah, that's weird. Do we know who's in it? What the hell?
It's not gonna be, I have no idea.
It's not going to be Chris Tucker or Jackie Chan, I'll tell you that.
What the fuck's the point? No offense, but like, it's not like it's, the series was always about like ensemble cast. It's about
guys. Look at it like this. Look at the Blade series. They did a Blade TV series.
I didn't watch it. What about it? Was it okay?
It was fucking ridiculous. The actor was not anywhere near Wesley Snipes' character. It was like some thug off the street type.
Yeah, but it was like a reboot at least, right?
No, actually, it continued off, I believe, the movies. Like,
okay, well, then, with all that stuff. Right.
And actually, they're supposed to be bringing that back, too. Hopefully, Wesley Snipes can get that and make it part of the cinematic universe.
Yeah, they're in talks with Wesley Snipes. That'd be cool. Yeah. You know, they should do the Wesley Snipes goes after the Twilight vampires. I would like that movie.
What the
fuck? I think we've actually discussed that.
Wrestlers versus zombies.
Discussed that in nauseam, but how Twilight should come and do a crossover and kill all the vampires in the other movie. I agree. Fucking kill them all. Okay, let's get into our retro movie reviews of the week. I know Carp has seen Mission Impossible, but for whatever reason, he couldn't make it on the show this week. So we'll have that review for you next week. We've gone back. I've actually seen Ant-Man this week, and I watched a bit of Pixels. I got a download, and I actually turned it off. First, we're going to go into Ant-Man. I know we've already reviewed it, so we're just going to maybe a 30-second quick review. Will, what'd you think of the movie?
You know what? I thought it was perfect. I thought I love when movies have a mission and they just go with it and they give you what you expected. So I'll be really quick. These are things I liked. One, Michael Douglas is back on the big screen in a big role. Great. Two, I like how there is this, they have their own MCU timeline with Hydra and all that. And we get to see bits of it and how this movie works within the whole bigger SHIELD timeline. That's very fun. Another thing, I like seeing how they could actually make this Ant-Man character work in the Marvel Universe. Very fun. Another thing is that they actually kept it quite small, but still riveting. And they show that they can actually use these Marvel characters for a bunch of different kinds of films. Captain America, the last one was more of a spy thriller, and this one's more of a heist movie. And they pulled it off perfectly. So there you go. I think there's almost nothing wrong with this film. I give it a 9 on 10, simply because I was still not off the edge of my seat for it. It still seemed very much by the numbers, but there was nothing wrong with it. That's my take on it.
I'll say quickly, I was shitting on Devil Vamp saying Ant-Man's not a draw. Ants in general are not a draw. Paul Rudd's not a draw. So I went in there based solely on the reviews. I saw on Rotten Tomatoes it got really high rating, and then Charlie wanted to go see it, so I'm like, let's go see a double bill of Pixels and Ant-Man. And what happened was then I saw Carp's review for Pixels, and online they were shitting on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to download Pixels, however I acquire that, and then I'll watch Ant-Man. Ant-Man really surprised me, actually. Thought Paul Rudd, although I didn't picture him in an action role, he buffed up for the movie. He played that role perfectly. Actually, the Ant-Man character, too, I found really fun.
Yeah.
I didn't read comic books before with him, so I didn't know what the whole story was. I thought he just stayed small the whole time.
Okay.
And so I didn't know, like, you go small, big, small, big, small, big, and then you jump through a keyhole lock, you go big, punch the guy in the face, go small again. So it's actually a really interesting character and a really powerful character at the same time, because he does have a fight scene with, I'm not going to spoil it,
but that's great. It's great.
And that's like, you know, and in real life, before seeing this movie, I'm like, oh, he'd get killed in 2 seconds. The guy just stomp on him or something. But like, he played his abilities perfectly, and the guy could barely fucking catch him. And it was really interesting to see. So overall, well acted, great supporting cast. Paul Rudd did a good job. Story was fun. And nothing blow away great, but I was definitely entertained. I give it a 9 myself.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Okay, we want to talk about Pixels quickly. I actually saw a part of it and turned it off because I got so bored with it.
Well, and you saw, I thought you had pre-ordered the tickets or something, no?
No, not okay, Pixels, no. Okay. Ant-Man I did.
Oh, okay.
Pixels, yeah, man. Carnage, we were talking about it before because we're going to cut that out. But Carnage, the reason why I turned it off, you could ask me why I turned it off. like, I knew exactly where the entire story was going 5 minutes into the movie. When he was playing it, he was like the quote-unquote arcade master or whatever. And then I exactly knew how the entire story was going to pan out. And I cut it to near the end to see, like, the CGI and stuff. And it was like, meh. I just, there was nothing that drew me to it. The storyline was just stupid. And knowing that, like, I probably, because, you know, I wasn't in the theater, I wouldn't walk out of something I spent $10 on. Unless it was atrocious.
Yeah.
But just the fact that nothing surprised me about it, that it was going that way. And Adam Sandler in a serious role just doesn't...
This is a serious role?
Well, I thought it was kind of serious. Like, it wasn't...
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's a giant Pac-Man eating a guy's arm, but it was kind of played on... I'm going to be spoiling some stuff because I don't think anybody's going to go see this thing.
It's a terrible film.
But all I'm going to say is Kevin James is the president.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just that would usually turn me off. But it just that whole fucking, it's like grown-ups meets Pac-Man. And so that's why Carnage, I got the fuck out of there.
The one thing I did like about it was like a different outtake, like a different look on, okay, if we got invaded by aliens and how they kind of used what we did against us. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The story did kind of drag and sucked, but I will tell you what's that cat? Peter Dinklage made me laugh a lot in that movie.
Yeah, he was good.
And then the other cat, the dude that's got that show with Billy Crystal now, I don't know his name, with the glasses. The other, he plays Wonder Boy, or whatever.
Yeah, but he plays Olaf in Frozen.
Okay,
Nick
that
something.
Guy.
His name is Nick.
He cracked me up, especially like when he's like, I was recording One Tree Hill and this came up. I did like how they did that too. Like when they sent their messages, they used 80s icons, you know, because of the fact that we sent something that was from the 80s as far as the video games and stuff. And they probably sent things in that time capsule as far as like Pepsi and. I always forget the guy's name. He was in Back to the Future as well. He's like a computer-generated face with blonde hair and glasses.
Oh, yeah. Do we want to spoil it? Do we care?
I don't think anybody cares at this
Max
point.
Max Headroom?
There you go. I love how they had him in it, too. It was stupid. It had its ups and downs. I'd probably give it like a 5. But, you know, I'm the type
of... If
I'm going to start it, I'm going to finish it. That's usually how I roll, so...
Yeah, and most things you want to, yeah.
Okay, wait, but one thing I wanted to say that really sucks here, why I think this movie blows more than you guys might think, is that after the Super Mario Brothers movie, Nintendo said we're never going to give our license for movies ever again. And they did this time. This is actually a very big deal. Nintendo never puts their stuff on the big screen. And they actually left the license now, so that's why you were able to get Donkey Kong. And I think that what's his face? The dog there, the Duck Hunt dog.
Duck Hunt dog was in it.
And so Paperboy was in it as well.
Okay, so you got some Nintendo properties in there. So Nintendo actually gave it out. And once again, the movie sucks. And I really hope this doesn't tell Nintendo, like, well, I guess here's what we do.
Well, keep in mind, there's a difference between the dog from Duck Hunt and, like, The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? Like,
but not for Nintendo sees it as...
Oh, fuck off. No, I don't think so. Look, I mean, Paperboy, fuck. When has Paperboy been relevant?
I agree. What he's saying is, like, basically anything that is of revenue to Nintendo, they didn't really put
on. Hold on. Yes. Hold on.
Yeah?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes, that worked. Well, who did they have in it?
But what I'm saying is the Mario. I know Mario was supposed to be cameo.
Mario wasn't there. Sonic Barry wasn't there. And they had Bowser. Yeah, they had Bowser. Yeah. Had
Metroid. Bowser. Samus from Metroid.
Samus was in that, wasn't it?
Yeah, Samus was in. They had a bunch of people in that one, but Wreck-It Ralph was like a more, hey, this is a big movie versus Pixels. You know what I mean? Like Pixels really did. They kept it all nostalgic. They didn't have no Zelda or anybody that was a big draw for Nintendo besides probably
Donkey Kong.
And
yeah, it was like the B roster of like Paperboy and the dog from Duck Hunt and like,
and then again too, it's the Donkey Kong they had was the actual like original Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Donkey Kong Country Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it was Donkey Kong.
Yeah, but what's weird is like when you think of the original game Donkey Kong, like for me, I think of the character that they used the original Donkey Kong, but then when they brought it in towards Donkey Kong Country and they redid everything, like I think of that as a Donkey Kong, but I never really think of like, okay, that's the Donkey Kong in the other one, because they looked at, actually supposedly they say that they're two different ones, so the fact they didn't throw them in, but what I'm saying is
I didn't know that.
You know, they said they would never like do that with their license, but they did it with Wreck-It Ralph. Because I thought I heard that they want to do a sequel and Nintendo is going to allow like more characters.
You know, I think they're starting to open up, and I think that's because what's his name Croak there, the old guy.
No, I think they gave it. I think they gave the lights to Pixels before the guy died. Old school. Come on.
So I'll correct myself then. I think it's just their culture is becoming more open minded yes. now to okay. the license and the properties. We heard of Zelda, possibly a television series on Netflix.
I would love that.
Which would be awesome. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to maybe a Mario movie, Zelda movie. TV.
Oh no, no more Mario movies.
No, I think they can redeem themselves.
I don't know though. They might. I mean, I don't know, man. That was so Mario horrible.
The Mario cartoon series at least was badass.
Yeah, with Captain Lou Albano. You're talking about that
one? I think they can redeem themselves.
That's not the cartoon series. That was like the live action.
J.J. Abrams to do it?
Action part of it.
No, but they also, the cartoon, he would do like a little bit of something, like a little intro. It would be Captain Lou Albano talking, then they'd go into the cartoon.
J.J. Abrams directing a Mario Kart movie. Make it happen. All right.
I mean, with director Michael Bay.
Oh, God, everything blows up. All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. Hey, Will, let's break down the weekend's box office for this week.
All right, break it down. Number one, total surprise, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, number one. So weekend gross, we see it seems to be $56 million. Is this close to what you guys thought it would be? Old school?
Interesting that you mentioned that, yeah. Will, because I have a way back time machine, or AKA a podcast player. And we actually mentioned the first two movies, so I was going to save it for the movie draft, but we might as well go back in time and check out our predictions last week. What do you guys predict Mission Impossible is going to make opening weekend? Start with Cabo Trek.
I'm going to go with $54 million.
Ooh, it's a very specific number. That was fucking two off. That's pretty good. But okay, there we go. Andre, how much do you think Mission Impossible is making this week?
Next week, I'd say about like 30.
30 opening. Yeah. Maybe a little low. You might have some insider information there, man. You know, tell us. Carnage, how much is it making?
I'm going to say $42
million. Set
29 20
heavy set 29. What the fuck there, man?
Because I'm lowballing everything from now on.
29 opening. Wow. MI, but I think MI is going to open with. I'm thinking around Kebo Trek's number, but I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 58 for the. So, Kev was down to. I was up to.
Fucker.
Yeah, and you guys are all over the fucking map. The heavy set with his 29 lowball king. All right, Will. So. We predicted pretty close, especially Kevin and I. I guess we're the winners of that. Vacation made 14.8. So let's see what we predicted last week. Second movie, Vacation. Kebo, how much is it making?
I actually think this is going to come in pretty low. I'm going to have to put a number. I would say $13
million. Fuck, man.
Wow. Holy shit.
Carnage, Vacation.
I'm going to say $18
million. Oh, that was pretty good, though.
I give about 20 as well.
Every set, Vacation, how much is it making?
20.5.
And I'm going to say 13. All right, let's get into feedback. There you go. Kevin and I were the winners of that week.
Felt like you were copying them there.
Well, what? I still said the same number. You could agree with me if you wanted to.
You know what's funny is when we were going on MI5, in my head, I just kept saying 55. And when he said the number, I was like, fuck, let me go a little lower.
Yeah, imagine, fuck, you would... Kevin and I, $2 million off Mission Impossible and $1 million off Vacation. Sorry, Will.
No, it's all good.
That was our red book from last week.
It's all good. Okay, so Ant-Man is number three. Was number one last week. And it made $12 million, making a total of $132 million. Not too shabby. Pretty fine. Number four was Minions, $12 million, making a total of $287 million, which shows that critics don't matter. Number five was Pixels. Hey, and I'm very glad. $10 million for a total of $45 million. So far, it's actually lost quite a bit of money. I like that. It means that word of mouth on this thing was pretty bad, and people held off watching it, which I'm very thankful for. Number six was Trainwreck, which turns out was not a train wreck because it made $9 million, making a total of $79 million on a budget of just half of that. So good job.
Going back to Pixels, is it necessarily word of mouth? Or is it just people, like, because when I looked at that, I was just like, yeah, it's not going to be a good movie.
Well, you know what? Not really, because at the same time, people could look at it and say, like, oh, man, I remember Joust. Let me go watch this thing. Oh, man, Donkey Kong, because he said it. Let me go watch it. I'm just happy. You know what? Maybe you're right, but I'm just happy that it proves that the shitty kind of ads where all they're doing is trying to blast you in the face with like things that might, like keywords that you might gravitate towards don't work. People need a bit more substance, and that just makes me really glad. So maybe
say in defense of Heavy's argument is Paul Blart was the highest grossing Sony movie of 2015.
How much money did it make?
$74 million.
And that's not a lot. That's not a lot, though.
And Will, I thought you liked getting blasted in the face.
No, I knew. When I said that was part of it. That was part of the whole gist of it all. But actually, I'm on your side, though. Heavy Set, I'm actually on your side by you saying that I was scared that you'd be wrong in this case and that people would still go because of the stupid marketing. But it turns out you're probably right that people are watching this and going like, you know what? I need more than just knowing that Donkey Kong's in the movie.
I'm not like happy. I think when this comes out on DVD, I'll probably try to get a digital copy of it. That's as far as I'll go, because I look at them like, this is not a movie that I'm going to rush to the theater to get. This is going to be a movie that I'm like, okay, I'll watch in the comfort of my own home or my own truck, for that matter. Or if I don't like it, I never feel as bad. That's one thing about when you get to that aspect of it, because I'm always like, well, I'll give it a shot. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, hey, I fucking know.
You know what? I'm actually never going to watch it. If I ever do watch it one day, I am taking all you guys out to a steak dinner. So you can leave that in the Red Book. It just proved that Will never, ever watch this movie.
Well, I like for me, like about doing the home market stuff, like I use, for example, well, only one I can think of off the top of my head that I watched, but I know there's many that follow that. What's it called? Three Stooges. A lot of people like shit on that.
Yes.
I don't think I would have enjoyed it in the movie theater as much, but I watched it at home and I'm just relaxing while I was watching it. And I didn't think it was half bad, but then again, I didn't spend as much as others would have. So but that's how I feel about this one. I think I'm going to like it for the nostalgia factor and some of those aspects of it and some of those interactions that probably have all been on the trailer, but I'm definitely not going to spend as much money on it as going to the movie.
Next, anybody remember the great movie Southpaw? Well, it made $7 million this week. Bring it to
you fucking big drop.
Yeah. It went down 55%, making it a total of 31 million. Then you also got Paper Towns, which I heard had some decent buzz, but that was also a huge drop, down 63%, only making $4 million, a total of 23 million. Then there's Inside Out, which is bring in quite a bit. It did go down to $4 million, but I mean it doesn't matter. It made $329 million so far, and that's just domestic. And rounding out the top 10 is Jurassic World, bringing in a little $3.8 million for a total of, holy moly, $631 million domestic. Wait, I just want to check how much is that international. It is $1.5 billion. Pretty nuts.
Shit.
Yeah. Do we know where it's at next to Avatar and stuff? Like, has it beaten everything else or not yet?
I thought it beat Avatar.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. I thought it beat Avatar.
Let me check 1 second.
Or maybe it beat Avatar internationally, but not domestically or something.
All-time worldwide, Jurassic World, third place.
Yeah, I just saw it. Okay, no, it still has ways to go. So just show you guys where Jurassic World is at. It's third place for everything worldwide. Number one is still Avatar at 2.7 billion, two Titanic, 2.1 billion, and three Jurassic World at 1.5 billion. So yeah, it has to make more than 1 billion to beat Avatar. So we'll see.
So two of those movies are James Cameron?
Yeah, yeah. The number one, so the only person that could be James Cameron so far is James Cameron. So we'll see.
I heard Albania is a huge market and hasn't come out there yet. So there's still time.
Guys, well, it's something fun, though. The number, it's pretty nuts, though. If you go down just the next three, number four is The Avenger, the 1.5 million, 1.5 billion. Number five is Furious 7 at 1.5 billion.
Furious, not Furious. It's not whatever. A sex fucking. You lost the gate.
Furious. Fury Revenge. Fury Revenge.
Furious. Fast and Furious.
And number six is Age of Ultron, which is pretty nuts. That means that in your top six, two are just Avengers films. The other two are Cameron movies. And then you got Jurassic World and the Fury. Damn it, I can't say it.
Fast Furious.
Furious.
Somebody's got some mouse on his mind.
Yes, Furious.
Fucking a squirrel. All right. Thank you very much for the recap of the box.
Where's Star Wars on the list now?
I think the question is, who gives a shit?
Well, no. Because I've always thought, like, okay, like, money's a big thing, but ticket sales.
Well,
Because of inflation. How like much?
Don't be an inflation guy. Yeah, by the way, if we did that, the Gone with the Wind would have made $4 billion right
no,
now.
No. I'm not talking about that of like inflation, because I'm just talking. Okay, how many tickets were sold? That's what I'm talking about.
By the way, Heavy Set, I'll just make you feel sad a bit. The Star Wars is actually pretty down. the one that's made the most money in Star Wars related is actually Star Wars Episode One: Phantom Menace for $1 billion. Then it
starts. Yeah, because everybody was excited to go see it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, you say that, and they didn't learn their stupid fucking lessons because then you got Star Wars Episode Three, which actually made $848 million, which also beat the first Star Wars. And he got Star Wars 55th place at $775 million. So I guess they didn't learn their stupid lessons.
All right. Thank you very much, Will. Moving on, we got upcoming movies for this week. It's Heavyset's last chance at winning the draft. Fantastic Four. Let's play the trailer and get our yay or nay.
Dr. Storm, we gave you 6 years and millions of dollars, and you gave us nothing. What's different now?
Reed Richards. He will answers to questions we don't even know to ask yet. This is our chance to learn more about our planet and maybe even save it.
I want you to meet my daughter, Sue.
You want to be famous?
I just want my work to make a difference.
John, Reed,
this guy doesn't take orders well.
Yeah, especially from people who say, I don't take orders well.
Don't let any of these lab coats give you any crap, all right?
Well, if I do, I know who to call. The Muscle.
I gotta say, it's fun having you here.
Really?
No.
What you've created here is incredible.
You guys sure you're in the best shape to be doing this?
Yeah.
We're good.
They just cracked interdimensional travel.
I want to know is where are my children?
Four have survived. All exhibit unique physical conditions.
I just want to fix my friends.
You can't fix this.
You should use these powers to help people.
You opened a door you don't know how to close. You don't know anything about what's coming.
What is coming?
Doom.
If you want to stop him, it's gonna take everything you have.
How long until he's in?
2 minutes. Might be a little less.
Fantastic Four starring Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell, Kate Murata. Michael B. Jordan's the only big name that I recognize on this.
Well,
I
mean, no, you watched House of Cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but she was in the first season.
Okay.
Josh Trank directing. He doesn't really have any big directing chops under his wing. So I'm not very excited for this. I don't know. Like, the first series never really excited me either. Maybe I'm just not a fan of the franchise, but I have no interest in seeing this. I'm a nay. Carnage, Le Carnage.
I don't know about opening day, but yeah, I'm interested to see it, see how they did things differently for this one besides Human Torch. So it looks like so far it's going to be better than the original one they did, but we'll see how that goes. So
you're a Chibi Tuesday?
Yeah, probably.
Have you set your nay?
I am a yay for this. I think everybody should go out and see this. You should take your kids, take your neighbors, take everybody. Go out and see this. Fill the movie theaters.
Will, comic book guy.
Yeah, I'm a yay simply because I'm very curious to see where they take this stuff. I'm glad that they're definitely not trying to pander to comic books. They're actually taking, because you know it's always fun to see them a new take. So I'll take that. And Doom's my favorite character in Marvel Universe, so I want to see what they do with him. Very curious, and I'll give this a shot, just not opening day, and I don't really care much for the actors that are in this film.
All right, another movie with Jason Bateman. It's actually a psychological thriller, so he's usually in comedies. Yeah.
No, but yeah. This film looks terrible. Anyways, go ahead, play the trailer.
Can I play? Is it okay if I play the trailer first?
Sorry.
Do I have your permission? Thank you. The Gift, 2015, starring Jason Bateman.
This is a mid-century modern home. This view is fantastic. The lighting is great.
You like it?
Yeah, do you?
This is good. I'm very happy.
Excuse me, is your name Simon?
Yes,
it is you. Hi. We went to school together.
This is my wife, Robin. I didn't get your name.
Gordon Mosley.
Gordo.
Gordo?
Oh my God. I'm so sorry I didn't recognize you. It's been a very, very long time. Welcome
Welcome home, smiley face, Gordo.
How do you think he got our address?
That's an expensive bottle of wine. We should thank him.
I believe that the bad things in life, they can be a gift.
That guy's odd.
He's a little socially awkward, but I can be like that. Gordo, hi.
Hi. After high school, and some people stay exactly the same.
Thank you.
He's delusional and thinks that we're friends.
Thanks for a lovely dinner.
Fish food. You don't find that a little troubling?
I said that I wanted fish.
And all the visits when you're alone. They used to call him Gordo the Weirdo.
I think he's nice, and he's been very generous.
What you're talking about is a one-sided friendship. You're essentially being forced into a breakup.
There's no easy way to say this. Don't visit us anymore.
It's not over.
Simon, after all these years, I was willing to let bygones be bygones.
What does that mean?
I do not know.
But it must mean something.
Hello?
Bygones be bygones after all these years.
What the hell was that?
That was big.
That's a
Gordo!
What does bygones be bygones mean?
It's over!
Simon has a full file on him.
You think he's been lying to you?
Just tell me what happened.
It was 25 years ago.
I have no idea who you really are.
Simon says, new house. Simon says, beautiful wife. Simon says.
You think you're done with the past, but the past is not done with you.
Will, the predictor of the future, saying it's going to be a piece of shit, and I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Nay for me, Carnage, Le Carnage.
I'll probably check it out on Netflix, just see where it goes.
Yeah, curious digital download, a heavy set.
I am a nay, but I think Carp's going to be a yay.
You think Carp's going to be a yay, yeah?
I don't know, this just seems down his alley.
All right.
Can I talk about something real quick?
You know what? Okay, can I say something quick before you say something quick?
Yeah, by all means.
All right. What I find annoying...
Can I say something quick before you say something quick before you say something quick?
You know what I find annoying is at the beginning of the trailer, he's like, oh, I don't even know who this guy is. And he's like kind of no-selling him. And then out of nowhere, oh, yeah, they have a history together. That kind of writing really bothers me because there's no tie-in.
Not only that, but you see it in the trailer already, so there's no point to actually put the before part anyways.
Yeah, it's true. That kind of stuff really bothers me. I hate that stuff.
Can I say my thing
anyways,
now?
Yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay. What I find funny is the use of Joel Edgerton in this film. He's someone who's been trying for a long time to be a serious actor, and it's never been working. He was in Exodus, Gods and Kings, nobody cared. He was in Great Gatsby, nobody cared about him. He was in Warrior, nobody cared about him either. The spotlight was on Tom Hardy instead. So it seems like now instead he's thinking of going for his niche in the more horror type of stuff, which is exactly what Patrick Wilson did. Patrick Wilson was a guy who tried really hard to be a big deal actor and nobody could give a crap. Do you know who Patrick Wilson is, old school?
Not off the top of my head,
that's exactly what it is. But yet he tried. He was in Watchmen as one of the main characters. Lakeview Terrace. He was really trying to make a big deal. Phantom of the Opera. These are all movies that nobody cared about, that didn't resonate. So instead, he actually found his calling by being in movies that, like The Conjuring, Insidious Chapter 2. So he actually found a way to make his career in these, not B-movies, but more like the horror kind of stuff. And it seems like Joel Edgerton is going this route as well. He's like the new Patrick Wilson. I hope it works out for him, although this movie looks like garbage. So that's just my point of view.
All right. We got two more movies coming up this week. We'll review them quickly. Shaun the Sheep movie. This is a claymation. It's actually done really well foreign. It's got almost 60 million foreign already.
Also, it's the same guys who do Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm a fan of that. Okay, so Shaun the Sheep. Let's play the trailer. Get our thoughts.
Shaun the Sheep and his flock know every trick to having a good time. But things can get out of control very quickly. Now, to get the family back together, they'll need a little willpower. To stay out of trouble. they need to think fast. Look sharp.
Walk this way.
And always keep their cool. Because if they can't blend in, they could end up back in the pen. Aardman Animations, the creators of Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run, present A Great Escape to the City. Shaun the Sheep, the movie.
Am I correct to assume there's no dialogue in this movie at all?
I didn't think of that. I have no clue.
If that's the case, be great for the you don't have to translate at all. Though it can break boundaries, international boundaries, really
well,
quickly.
Well, like the Mayans did it, right? You didn't have to translate any of their speech.
It's all fucking nonsense.
Was Wallace and Gromit?
No, Wallace and Gromit.
They talk, yeah.
Well, Chicken Run, they did or didn't?
They did. Mel Gibson. Yeah. Mel Gibson was there.
Oh, yeah, you're correct. Maybe they do. Maybe they're just not showing it.
Whoever's a fan of the franchise, let me know if there's actually no dialogue. Because that'd be one of the first movies that I would know that wouldn't have dialogue, except for like silent movies, of course. But I mean, you're going to have mostly a kid audience, especially without the dialogue. But I think it's going to translate well. You know, you made 60 foreign. I don't think it's going to make a ton of money, but with 2,200 screens, I see it making a good 10, 15 million over the weekend.
Actually, old school. I was thinking Wall-E didn't have much dialogue for half the movie.
Yeah, half the movie was nothing. Yeah, it's true. But it did have dialogue.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a nay for me because I'm not usually a... Well, no, hold on.
Actually, the film...
Yeah, you know, it's a download for me.
The film contains absolutely no dialogue aside from animal sound effects.
That's fucking awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to check it out as a digital download for curiosity. Carnage.
It's going to be the same for me. I think this is going to probably do real big over in the UK market. I don't know how big it'll do here, but I don't see it going past 13 million at all.
Have you set?
I'm probably a digital download too, if that.
Will, you found of these Brit claymations?
No, I hate claymation. I don't know. I find it totally unattractive to me. Sorry.
All right, we got one more out this week in 1800 screens. It's Ricky.
I'm Ricky Randazzo. And,
cut myself off there. It's Ricky and the Flash.
Thank you, Randazzo, and I'd like to introduce my band, The Flash.
I've been trying to call you. It's Julie, our daughter. Max left her.
What?
You brought your guitar?
Yeah, just the one.
Whoa, Mom, you're here. Like the 80s all over again.
Hope Maureen doesn't mind that I'm here.
Oh, hi.
We are really concerned about Julie.
What happened?
Max came home, told me that he was in love with a girl named Nicole.
She's gonna be all right. She's always been a fighter.
Well, she's had to be.
Here she comes.
I have all my kids in one room.
Mom.
Uh-oh.
Why aren't you wearing your engagement ring?
You two are engaged?
Who wants some appetizers?
We're practically eloping, Mom.
Why don't you be honest, Josh, and just tell Mom that you don't want her at the wedding?
Someone order a mudslide?
Yeah, keep them coming.
Day after day, I'm more confused.
I've missed so much.
There was a hole in this family, and I filled it.
All grown up now.
You think because you screwed up once you don't get a second chance?
That I hate to lose.
Hey!
Why did you walk out on my daughter?
Our daughter.
Julie hates you.
That may be. And I have to live with that every day of my life, but now you have to live with the pain you caused.
It really doesn't matter if your kids love you or not. It's not their job to love you. It's your job to love them.
Call in sick. Go to the old neighborhood. Sometimes a girl just needs her mother. Lots of things are going to change in your life.
Someday you're going to wake up and find a gray hair.
And I don't mean on your head.
was never a traditional mom. But I am a musician, and I'd like to give all I have to you.
Ricky and the Flash, starring Meryl Streep. I'm actually going to be a yay for this because I have a thing where I go see every Meryl Streep movie. My mom, she's a huge Meryl Streep fan. That's kind of in the contract when I was born. Apparently, I had to go see every Meryl Streep movie, so I have to abide by that. And I will be going to this, Le Carnage.
Yeah, I'll probably end up go seeing it with the wife. Is that her daughter in the movie?
It looks exactly like her. If it's not, it's the best casting I've ever seen.
No shit.
No, it's like, it's spitting image. It has to be your fucking daughter. Actually, can, if somebody can look that up. Heavy set, your name?
I'll probably go see this with the wife. I don't know, man. I don't have a wife. I'll probably go see this with a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. No, I ain't seen this.
Will?
I'm checking now. I don't care about this movie at all.
Why did you tell me to fucking play the clip?
No,
then?
Because it's still important. It's a freaking Meryl Streep movie. It's an important film, and it's really cool to see her in this role. I just don't really care about this movie. I know it's gonna happen already. Don't you?
It's not her daughter, Mammy Gummer.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
That is the best casting.
No, wait, guys, it's her daughter. Are we talking about Mary Willa Gummer?
Yeah,
Mary Willa Gummer. Parents: Don Gummer and Meryl Streep. That's her daughter.
There's no way. If it wasn't, it would have been the best cast. It had to have been the daughter.
It's her daughter.
Well, it's cool to see them together with her daughter. Then why not?
But yeah, The deal with me is that I already see this happening. It's the mom that wasn't there and now is gonna make it up to her. I don't need to see a movie. I've already
for sure.
I know the answer. For sure. That's all.
There's no. Like, you know exactly where it's going.
Yeah, it's but a paint by numbers type of thing.
The feel-good movie, you know, rom-coms have the same idea.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes that people like that. You know what I mean? So
they do. And like I said, it worked well with Ant-Man. I wasn't overly blown away, but it did everything perfectly. So yeah,
There you go. So I'm seeing it because of contractual obligations. All right, nothing interesting out on DVD this week, so we're going to go straight to the movie draft.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Hello.
Good morning. Hello. So yeah, it's over. We're not gonna do a weekly recap unless there's a big mover, like a big amount coming in. Because right now, Andre's dominating because of Jurassic Park. He's in first place with $871 million. I'm in second with $746, about $130 off. But I have no new movies left, so all I'm getting is just like second, third week box office. So. You know, and my latest movies that are Pixel and Southpaw, which have been doing fantastically terrible as of late. So I'm pretty much out of it. Carp has, I think, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Straight Outta Compton. But those two, I can't see doing $300 million. Heavyset 2, Mission Impossible, I think it would have had to make a way bigger amount. So Fantastic Four really has to blow it out of the water because you're currently about $400 million off.
Yeah, but it won't. So, I don't think it will.
In my opinion, it's pretty much over.
Old school, would you rather we like we did last week, just like say our estimates for the two big ones?
Yeah. I'm just telling people where we're at. So yeah, it's pretty much over at that point. So I mean, again, if something changes, I'll let you guys know. But if it doesn't, then we'll just do a kind of end of year thing. Right now, in terms of gross versus price, the best value that we've got, Heavy said by far, Pitch Perfect 2, $18 million per dollar spent for him. Inside Out made me $15 million per dollar spent. Jurassic World made $14 million per dollar spent, and that's why Andre's winning this. San Andreas made $12 million per dollar spent. Movies that are coming out that are left, you know, if there's any chance, Carp, Man from U.N.C.L.E., and he's got Straight Outta Compton. And Andre made that $800 million out of three movies. It's crazy. Kebbo has Hitman, Agent 47, Masterminds, and Sinister 2, which somehow have to make $500 million. And then Heavyset, Fantastic Four, and second and third weeks from Ant-Man, Mission Impossible. So unless, you know, we got something crazy, Andre's pretty much won this. Mop Jockey, the only home game player, actually would have beaten all of us. $983 million he's got combined for his choices. So congratulations to you, the winner of one competitor. Hopefully next draft we get more people in there. But it was a very interesting draft. And in my opinion, if Andre didn't pick, or if Jurassic Park didn't do as well as it did, I had a good chance of winning it. So congrats to Andre, man, for just seeing what all of us didn't see. Coming out this week, we're going to do some predictions on gross totals. Do the TARDIS thing again like this week. The big movies coming out, we're just going to go round table on how much it's going to make. We're going to start with the big one, Fantastic Four, The Carnage. How much is it making?
I'm going to say $52 million.
Have you set?
$41
million. Will?
I was saying $40 million. I had that in my head from the beginning.
And myself, we're going to say $39.
Ooh.
All right. The Gift, Le Carnage.
I'm going to say $9
million. Have you set?
8.5.
Will?
Eight. I was saying $8
million. And I say $6.5 million. Ricky and the Flash, Le Carnage.
I'm going to say $14 million.
Justin, heavy set.
Thanks, Keith. seven.
Did you say seven?
Seven.
Seven. Sarah.
Seven.
Will.
I'm saying $12 million. I think Meryl Streep has a lot of draw.
She's got the vagina draw big time. I'm going to come $1 million under you and say 11. All right, last one, Shaun of the Sheep, Le Carnage.
$7 million.
Heavy.
Can't wait to see this Hot Fuzz sequel. nine.
William.
Whoa, what's this? I'm saying 18. There's nothing for kids. Oh, wait. No, there is. Whatever. I'm saying 18.
I'm going to go a little higher. Not than you, Will. I think you're insane. I'm going to say 13. Shaun of the Sheep. $13 million. And yes, I did that on purpose. Okay. I did. Okay. What's up next? Hashtag OSATM feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
We never go ass to mouth.
Not even in the heat of the moment?
Not even in the heat of the moment.
Sorry, what if it Jesus. Just slides right in?
There you go. Not a lot of tweets this week. We got a couple. Double Vamp, they could do another Goonies, just don't call it Goonies 2. There's a missing spot for this generation summer kid adventure movie. Hashtag OSATM.
Do you think it got replaced by superhero movies?
I just think the time of adventure movies, they always go back to books. I've noticed a lot of the time. I think it is missing a spot, and it should be a big hit if they can do it. Just depends on what route they're going to go with this. Is it going to be some original cast members in it? Is it going to be a whole new squad? Is it going to be shot like an A-list movie, or is it going to be shot like a B-rated movie, you know?
Double Vamp, talking head radio host that was talking about emoji movies, a fucking retard. I completely agree with you, and heavy set, hashtag OSATM. Heavy, for sure. I mean, we were kind of jumping the gun saying it was a piece of shit, but I just can't see. They're just going to the fucking bottom of the well here. It's anything, like selfie movie, guy wipes his ass movie. I mean, they're just taking whatever, and it's going to, in my opinion, it's another battleship. I'll put Red Book right now, August 2nd, 2015, emoji movie will be an absolute piece of Adam Sandler.
Watch, that's who they get to start it. Adam Sandler.
That would be awesome.
Adam Sandler and Kevin James, along with Melissa McCarthy.
And every SNL cast member that was rejected.
I was going to say, don't make fun of SNL cast members so far.
Tim Meadows, David Spade. Rob Schneider in unemployment line.
Melissa McCarthy. Zach Galifianakis.
Grown Ups 18.
Probably going to be like, what's that one? Seth Rogen and everybody. The one where it's like the end of the world.
It's not called World's End. It's something else.
This is the end. It's going to have all them guys.
And all wine aside tweets, hashtag OSATM. Old school, stop shitting on Kebbo no matter what he says. Hashtag so mean. Okay, here's the thing with that.
Nope.
The odd time.
I was gonna say, what? Hold on. Before we go any further, this is the bright side. We didn't shit at him at all this week.
Yeah, no, I was totally neutral with him this week, especially because he wasn't on. No, but seriously.
No,
I usually disagree.
You did go on a little bit of a rant. I think that's what they're referring to. Remember when he was talking about Terminator?
I think I call him a piece of shit. Yeah. But, you know, given that we have different differences of opinion, I think that's what makes the show interesting. And most of the time, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. So if he starts saying stuff that makes sense, I won't shit on him. You know, it's as simple as that.
You should not shit on him, because even though he shits on everything else.
That's
it's not my kind of movie. It's, you know, not Resident Evil or like.
That's what I was going to say. He's very bland. I mean, it's like. Why come host the show if you're not going to bring like a little oomph with you, you know?
And the girlfriend at least tries to take him out. She takes him out to everything.
Well, you know, I'm looking a bit.
Yeah, I say out. Yeah, I'm Canadian. Fuck off. I know. I say out. I eat Tim Hortons. Deal with it.
What's in a boot?
What's in a boat?
Hey, stop talking about me moose.
Get out of there. Get out of there. What's in a boat?
You don't watch hockey, do you?
Of course I watch hockey. It's a religion here.
He's Canadian.
All hail Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Small amount of feedback this week. Keep it coming, though. Don't be shy. I haven't gotten an email since the late 80s.
That's what I was going to say. Somebody send a fucking email. Come on.
Nobody emails anymore. They Instagram. I think we need a fucking Instagram page or something. You're going to start taking pictures of them.
But it'll just be like you and Kev will blowing dudes. That's not, you don't want to see
that. It's not cool. It's not cool at all.
Will's already following you.
Right.
Redbook, Will. Redbook. All right, let's close the show. Final thoughts and thoughts, because I thought of that. Plugs, final thoughts, Le Carnage.
Yeah, you can follow me at Carnage0228. Listen to us at Old School at the Movies, and somebody send a fucking email.
So, somebody has to have a working email account at some point. I'd like to get at least one per year quota. So one person send us a fucking email.
No CATA emails.
Yeah, please. You know what the problem is? Piper sends me this like really detailed review of Fast and as Will would say, Furriest. Fast and Furriest. Like, and I just, whatever reason, I think I forgot 2 weeks, and then it was like 8 months later or something. So Piper, I apologize. I didn't read your email because it was actually really well detailed and it was a great email and I no sold it. So if you can find it in your heart to send me one more email, I'd really appreciate it because he was pretty much the only, him and Toons were the only emailers. And tweets too. If he's like, fuck email, what the fuck is that? That's so 1990. Send me a tweet too. That's cool. All right. Heavy set. Plugs, final thoughts.
You can also follow the show on Snapchat and Kick and get us all your feedback. Kick. It's an instant messaging service.
Oh, okay. And I'm also going to be on ICQ.
ICQ. And Kebbo is still not on any of those whatsoever.
No, Kebbo's a hermit. Fuck, he's on nothing.
But same old plugs. Trending Topics Network, Ohio Wrestling Network, AllWrestling.com Weekend Review, which I will be hosting until Labor Day. So yeah, definitely check that show out.
You're doing a great job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Getting better every week. The first week you're a bit of a jobber, but no, you've been really like fucking just
yeah.
And with anything,
you're mid card now.
The first week I did it, I just got off the phone recording an episode for Ohio Indie Report, and I had been up all day. It was 4th of July weekend, and I was like, all right, you know, just keep doing it. I'll just try to record the weekend review again because it was my second time recording it because the first recording I fucked up. My vocals and the sound vocals on my computer were like off by like 2 seconds and 2 seconds in the wrong way to where music would come in too soon and everything. So it sounded like someone's not done with their call yet and I'm just stepping on them. So I was like, motherfucker. So whenever I did that, like I was finishing like around like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, I was kind of like loopy and shit, but I've been trying different ways and everything that, and I've received criticism from people that can really go fuck themselves, but that's my own opinion.
You know, you record live to tape.
Mm-hmm.
And with those factors, nah, man. And you've been improving every week, doing a great job. And you're actually keeping the show alive. So if anybody's shitting on, it's a fucking armchair quarterback, and they can go suck a dick. Will, gobots.com, comic books, FDW.
It's Cybertron, Sabertron.com, SEIBertron.com. And I don't know if you guys, did you ever, you're a guy of the 80s, did you play with Transformers back then, old school?
No, it wasn't a fan.
Okay, anybody here play with Transformers ever?
Yeah, nobody?
Do you want your avatar to be yourself morphed into a Transformer?
No.
Well, if you go to carsthebots.com.
I love it.
Anyways, the point is
Clerks 2, baby.
Yeah, anyways, the point is that I write some articles there. And if anybody here likes to look back in time, different things that happened, the most of what I wrote was 5 worst cases of visible head syndrome, which is when your Transformer, you can see like the robot head sticking out of his ass or somewhere else, you know. Anyways, that's the most recent article I did. So go to cybertron.com, SEIBertron.com.
When is your new article for cocktalk.com come out?
Still writing it. It's a long article, so I've got to write.
Is your boss really riding on that one?
Also, yes, comicsftw.com is still there. My reviews with Dre are still up there, so you can have fun with that.
All right, thank you very much for Le Carnage. Heavy set. Will, this is old school saying, furriest.
In a time where Hollywood was rebooting all of your dad's favorite TV shows as movies, get ready for the only one that actually worked. Mission Impossible. When the world is endangered by a vague plot device.
The knock list.
Chimera.
The rabbit's foot.
An agency with a silly name.
Impossible Mission Force.
Shut up.
Will deliver assignments in a ridiculous way to agents who can choose whether or not to accept them.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Should you choose to accept it?
Should you choose to accept it?
Should you choose to accept it?
What happens if they say no? Do we all just die? Sit back as a revolving door of directors bring their signature style to each installment, as long as Tom Cruise approves. Featuring the psychodrama of Brian De Palma, the shaky cam of J.J. Abrams, the cartoon sensibilities of Brad Bird, and the diving sideways with two pistols at the same time in the middle of a flock of birds in slow motion of John Woo. Come on, man. Never go full Woo. In a world of shifting alliances where nothing is as it seems, one thing never changes. Tom Cruise is gonna run. He's gonna hang. And then he's gonna run some more. Like a lot more. Wow, that is a long shot of running. And cut. Man, he did not skip leg day. Follow along as Tom Cruise plays international super spy, Tom Cruise. But Tom Cruise isn't doing it alone. He'll be backed up by a whole team of replaceable castmates like Guy at a laptop, Guy with a foreign accent, Sexual Object Girl, and Ving Rhames.
I get to keep the equipment when we're done.
So whether you prefer the first one, where Tom Cruise must apprehend a rogue IMF agent and an arms dealer, the second one, where Tom Cruise must apprehend an ex-IMF agent gone rogue, trying to become an arms dealer, the third one, where Tom Cruise is framed as a rogue IMF agent to take down an arms dealer who's working with the actual rogue IMF agent. Or the fourth one, where Tom Cruise's entire team becomes rogue IMF agents, only to be betrayed by an arms dealer. One thing is for sure, everyone is wearing a Scooby-Doo mask.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for that meddling Tom Cruise.
Starring Cardio. Wrist talking.
Can you hear me?
Jack, open the doors. Toast. Toast.
MacGuffins. Double crosses. File transfers. Planning.
40 seconds.
162.
24/7.
36 hours.
24 hours.
I need 30 seconds.
Fancy balls. Exotic locations. Less exotic locations. Tom Cruise with short hair. Tom Cruise with long hair. Tom Cruise with short hair. Tom Cruise with long hair. Lock picking. Silly mustaches. Countdowns. The word disavowed.
Secretary will disavow.
The secretary will disavow.
Disavowed.
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 And Limp Bizkit? Ugh, I forgot about that. Franchise unkillable. Okay, so they explain the mask and the voice chip, but how does Tom Cruise change his height and weight? I mean, really? He looks nothing like Philip Seymour Hoffman.